He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, it's the week before Thanksgiving edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We have a soft, we have a mixed open to the market today as Walmart disappoints on their earnings, but Cisco disappoints over on the NASDAQ side. The Dow is down 15 points right now, 34,976. The NASDAQ's up 26 points, 14,130. The S&P is doing best of all. It is up almost 9 points. That's 19 basis points. The 4511, the Russell 2K is down 0.5%. That's the small and micro cap index. Crude oil is down 252. Wow, that's the lowest we've had for a while. Now that's going to help those CPI numbers and PPI numbers next month. Crude oil is at $74.14 right now. Gold is up $19 to $19.83. Silver's up 51 cents to $24.05. And the 10-year right now is down 8 basis points. You'd think we'd be getting a little bit better rally out of the market here today. But Walmart pretty much weighing on the market today. The 10-year is down, however, 8 basis points to 4.46%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of a fee-based only nationwide firm with clients. I'd have to find out how many states we're in. I know I had to pay for the registration in all of those states yesterday. I want to say it's like 35 or 40, something like that. But Barry, we've got kind of a mixed open to the market. You know, the market's a little overdone right now. Now that we're hitting 4,500 on the S&P 500, you're stretching the multiple out over 18. I don't know exactly where we're at, maybe 18.2, 18.3. That's about as high as it gets these days with the interest rate where we're at. I also am watching the NASDAQ hit technical resistance here. The Dow is
I sent a chart out of the NASDAQ.
I sent a chart out of the Dow, which continues to be perilously close to a moving average crossover. We had a happy event a year ago when we had a golden cross. That's when the 50-day moving average of the index in question, in this case the Dow, rises above the 200-day. And, you know, that doesn't happen like once a week or twice a week or once a month. Right. Those are pretty big. I mean, for the 50 to cross above the 200. So consider that it's been a year since we've had a crossover one way or another. Also consider how good of a signal that was back in November of last year. That was a great time to be buying the market. As the Dow was the first index to cross over and create a golden cross, and then the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ followed shortly thereafter. But now the Dow is precariously close. It hasn't formed one yet. I mean, you'd have to put it under a microscope, I suppose, or look up the actual numbers of the 50-day, the 200. But it's very, very close. That doesn't mean it's going to have a big crossover. Nor does it mean that you should sell everything if it does happen. But I would just say that it puts the Dow-type stocks, which are mostly large-cap dividend payers for the most part, it would put them on defense instead of offense. So it would be a key, at least one shoe to drop against the market, which has been going now for over a year. The S&P and the NASDAQ, on the other hand, they're headed towards death crosses. But they are have it hasn't occurred yet, and they are much further. The gap between the 50 and 200 day is much greater, where the Dow is like they've converged. Okay, so we'll see where we go from here. Earnings season is coming to a close here. A couple of big ones today. We've had Cisco, we've had Alibaba, we've had Walmart, and we've had Palo Alto Networks. Some of them were good, some of them were not so good. We'll get to that in a little bit. Yesterday we had kind of a soft, squishy market after the huge day on a Monday and Tuesday. You know, I was reading how many times the market has guessed wrong on the CPI and the inflation numbers, and it obviously was pretty wrong this week, because we saw those huge days after the CPI on Tuesday and then the PPI on Wednesday. But I've got a stat for you. The market has also been wrong about the Fed 9 times in the last several years. Is it wrong about the Fed again? Because the market is basically pricing in no more hikes right now. Is the market finally right? Well, we'll just go through all of the recent occurrences of the market thinking the Fed was done, and it wasn't done. Also thinking that inflation was done, and it wasn't done yet. Okay, so we have, let's see here, we've got the biggest news probably was the meeting yesterday between President Xi of China and President Biden of the U.S., and I don't know, I haven't heard that much in the way of details coming out of that meeting, other than China is ready to be a partner with the U.S., and I read into that, Barry, that the Chinese economy is struggling. That's what I read into that.
Well, yeah, it's you know, really almost like we talked about yesterday. It's almost you know, there's likely some, and there has been, you know, some unrest underneath the surface, right, in China, and really, you know, money in the economy, right, has been you know, kind of the. To me, kind of the way to appease, right, the masses there in China, and it just seems, you know, Xi's figuring that out and coming over and you know, kind of court a little bit of help, it looks like.
Yes, and of course he's talking with Tesla, Microsoft, Exxon Mobil, and Citigroup, also meeting with them, so we'll see. I've always said that, you know, nothing bad really can come from two sides getting together and talking. It's when you when you're not talking to each other and you've got your backs turned to one another. Not much good can come from that. So we'll see. Well, the Senate followed through and did pass the stopgap spending bill to avoid a government shutdown for the holidays. That's good. But they have kicked the can down the road. They'll bring this up probably mid-January or beginning of January. But that's at least one less thing that we have to worry about right now in the market. So that's a good deal. We also have, let's see here, we've got earnings that have come in today. And we've got a full slate of Fed speakers today. That always makes me nervous.
Yeah.
What will they say?
Well, and it's okay. Funny. Yeah, it's funny. They you know, saw that on the calendar, and apparently they're, you know, apparently they're not talking about monetary policy. But we'll see.
Well, you know, they always seem to throw that in. You know, they're going to throw that in somehow. The monetary policy bit. Because that's what they do for a living. But you have a full slate. Now, we did get bigger than expected jobless claims, increased by 13,000. That's more than expected. That's good news. That's probably why you've got the interest rates on the 10-year down 5 basis points right now. We're going to get some more earnings here after the close. Applied Materials, it would be a big one. We've already got Macy's. We've gotten about five that we're going to go through here. Now, I'm seeing a big call here for, in fact, two big firms are saying, are we on, is a new bond bull market on the horizon? Okay. This is coming from, who's this coming from? PIMCO, says bonds are in a prime position to advance now. Well, in order to say that, or believe that, you have to believe that interest rates topped out at 5%, recently. They've pulled back, to 4.6. And for us to have a big bond bull market next year, interest rates would have to head down. And you did see some crazy calls for massive Fed cuts next year as a recession sets in. So this is something to think about. I like these macro calls. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Let's just check in. The market's, let's see, about the same, I'm thinking here. We've got the Dow down 10, the NASDAQ up 19. Pretty quiet day here so far. Okay, so here was the point. This actually comes from ING. In a Reuters poll this week, 30 of 32 bond strategists said Treasury yields have peaked. But a majority of them have been saying that for 4 months. Okay, that's a problem. They're very hard to predict.
For 4 months. Yeah, that rate's been all over the place for four months.
It's shot up for the last 4 months. Market rates have peaked, says ING's economics team. The 10-year hit 5% and the 2-year got to 5.25% in the past month or so. A move back towards 5 is not improbable for the 10-year, but it's more likely that we've morphed into a structural decline in market rates and a steeper curve. That comes from ING. Now, it's PIMCO in a separate article. They say that bonds are in a prime position to advance. Well, the reason I bring this up is because if they are in a prime position to advance, that's good for the stock market too.
Because interest rates would be going down in that.
Yes, absolutely. And we've seen how closely linked the stock market has been to interest rates. So anyways, those are two big articles today on a looming bond market rally, which obviously that would be a falling in interest rates. Now, about this dovish pivot, okay, that's what everybody's waiting. We've had a pause so far, was what I would call it. What has it been, 2-3 months where we haven't had a rate hike?
Right. Yep.
Somewhere in there. And we're not expected to have any more, okay? But 7 times the markets have anticipated a dovish pivot that did not come. It began in November 2021 when the Omicron COVID-19 variant appeared, and investors said that the central banks can't hike here. But then they did. They kept hiking. Then you had February through early March of 2022, Russia invades Ukraine, and the Federal Reserve starts hiking with 25 basis point hikes. Everybody thought they were done then. May of 2022, investors were concerned about multiple growth risk, including rate hikes, China's zero COVID strategy, and the Russian-Ukraine conflict. Wrong again. The Fed kept hiking. July of 2022, last year. Now that's when, that's when there was an imminent global recession ready to happen. Oil prices were falling. The July CPI report showed a fall in prices. Wrong again, because I mean, up until a year later, like one last July, a year later, they were still hiking. Then you had late September through October of 22, turmoil centered around the UK led the market to price in more rate cuts for 2023. They were pricing in rate cuts at that time. I think it's fair to say they've been pretty wrong. Now, well, let's go back to March of this year. When the Silicon Valley Bank collapsed, the banking turmoil, they believed that the central banks would finish hiking rates. Wrong again. And then we go to November of 2023, just last month, we're expecting the Fed to cut rates. Cut rates? No, they're not done yet. So anyway, so far the market has really gotten it wrong. That's why you have to take with a grain of salt the predictions they're making about the bond market here. And interest rates. Okay, Eli Lilly has a problem. They have a GLP-1 shortage. That's a good problem.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, the problem's probably they can't make the stuff fast enough.
Yeah, so they are eyeing a $2 billion German plant to build, to increase their production. But the investment comes amid a shortage of the new class of weight loss drugs called GLP-1 receptor agonist. Anyways, and of course they recently got approval for the drug, both from the U.S. This is just going to increase the demand for it, because now a lot of people qualify where maybe they didn't before, and they also got approval to use it as a weight loss drug in Europe. So now they got to ramp up production. Okay, should we be worried? The luxury sector warning. Well, today you've got the bottom end of the consumer, I suppose, at Walmart, which gave pretty weak expectations. Then at the top end, Burberry falls 10% after sales growth slows dramatically. Okay, so that's luxury goods. That's at one end of the spectrum. Walmart's at the other end of the spectrum, and yet you had Target yesterday, which is at the low end of the spectrum, having very good report. But I would say this about Target, Barry. They had very easy comparables, right, to beat.
Yeah, they did, and they've been, besides of some of the, some of the other, headline issues that they've had, and also on the theft side of things, but, they had an inventory issue. I mean, they had a glut, and a lot of these retailers had the same issue, but they had a glut of inventory that they had to, that they had to discount and move over time. And for Target, they've kind of, worked through, at least, reading through their transcript yesterday, they've worked through some of those inventory issues. But, you still have, some overhang, right, from some of those, kind of more headline issues that, that really didn't have anything to do with sales or the business in general. Had more to do with, their stance on certain social issues.
Yes, and I would just say that this past week we have seen a few cracks, just a few, in the jobs market, the labor market.
Yeah, weekly jobless claims came in at around 230, I think, today. And so that was a pretty significant.
Maybe the consumer is getting a little, just here and there. Now, what will New York? I remember when Mayor Bloomberg put a fat tax on the soda pop
soda
makers.
And stuff like that, right?
Now, the state of New York is suing Pepsi. This is the office of the New York Attorney General. The food and beverage giant was accused of harming the public and the environment with its single-use plastic packaging. Well, it seems like everybody, I mean, from the water companies that sell drinking water, why just Pepsi, Coca-Cola? The Office of the Attorney General found that the single-use plastic produced by Pepsi contributes significantly to high levels of plastic pollution along the Buffalo River.
Well, don't we all contribute to pollution in some form or fashion?
I don't know. It's strange. But that's the latest from the state of New York. Okay, when we come back, I've got several individual stocks in the news. Some good, some bad. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. The Dow now down 95 points and the NASDAQ down 18 points. And we're going to get to Walmart. There's one other story out there that I wanted to bring to your attention. Enphase. It's just more evidence of how difficult and how just poor the solar sector has become. And we've had investments in it in the past. You know, Enphase is probably the number one tech stock in the solar sector because they make the most efficient inverters, taking the sunshine and converting it to electricity to use. But even though they're
turning
launching
DC and AC.
Yes, even right. though launching new inverters and everything, you look at a chart. I showed a chart. Well, it'll be in this week's newsletter. Of TAN. TAN is an ETF that owns just solar stocks. And it just seems like, you know, look, okay, I'm looking at my two. I have two very large 600-watt batteries, Yeti batteries in my office with the solar panels right above them. And when it's a good sunny day, they produce about 450 watts. So if you don't have anything plugged into it, it will charge fairly quickly. You get a cloudy day, you're getting about 100. If lucky, sometimes you're hardly getting any watts. That's the input, charging the battery. So right now we've got partial sun. The input's 229 coming into my battery, and I'm using 134 output. Okay, so now it takes forever for it to charge. And overnight, of course, during nighttime, I have to keep some things plugged in here. And they obviously have zero input at nighttime and a cloudy day. So I'm just saying between a pretty big investment in two very large batteries and some huge solar panels that I have on kind of a balcony that I have, it's difficult. It's very difficult just to run a little office, which has, you know, computers and my radio equipment and some lights and charging the phones and whatnot. I'm just saying that it would be difficult to flip the switch and be on solar only because of the clouds.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the only way you can do it is if you can store the power, which has always been has been the issue. Is of course you've got if you're going to store the power, well, you know, you got to have the old Tesla power wall, right, with the big bunch
those
of batteries
things are huge
on the wall,
too.
And they're expensive.
They're expensive and they're huge. Yeah, these batteries that I have that store.
Mm-hmm.
You can't lift them. I mean, they're on wheels and a thing, but it's just not efficient.
Well,
when you have natural gas line coming to the house, never have any trouble whatsoever, right, with the natural gas. So
right. Well, and the thing is, too, and as interest rates go up, right, all of those projects, even with some of the inefficiencies, right, all those projects get more expensive, and it even, makes them even less viable, as interest rates go up. So that's another kind
of problem. These batteries are about, between the batteries and the solar panels, they're about $6,000 each, and they're very inefficient. Okay. Walmart down 7.4% today. That's a surprise because, Target had blowout sales yesterday. The retailer reported U.S. comparable sales rose 4.9%. They beat the estimate, but their full-year profit outlook was short of expectations. Walmart consolidated gross margin was up 32 basis points. That's pretty good. But I say, how was Walmart's report? I look at how the stock is reacting. It's down 7.5% on 13 times normal volume. Now, Walmart, we don't own Walmart because Walmart, if you look at the valuation side of the business, the stock, I have 41% upside potential over the next 5 years, and that's being really generous. We like 75% or more. And, you know, the biggest problem Walmart has, it's a single-digit grower, single-digit grower.
Yeah, and their multiple, by the way, I mean, their multiple got to 30, which is pretty, which is a pretty rich multiple for Walmart. And that's, I think that's one of the issues. They mentioned some softness that, that they've actually already seen in the month of October, which didn't have anything to do with, obviously, their third quarter earnings, but some of the stock really was down based on that kind of commentary about what they've experienced so far what they experienced in the month of October, and the fact that it's kind of priced for perfection, because it was at an all I think it's hit an all time high.
Here's the multiple I use for Walmart. I'm using a 24. Multiple 24 to 25, which I think is fair. If anything, it's generous.
Right.
And I'm using a growth rate of about 7.5%, which is also generous. So I'm saying that's the best case scenario, is 41% upside potential over the next 5 years.
And Target's a 17. Right, forward P of 17,
right.
Where
okay.
It is right now, right? Compared to Walmart today is at 26. It was was at 30 before the
so
recent drop.
So probably going to see a continued drop in Walmart and a little bit of a continued Target. I have 74% upside potential over the next 5 years. Those are critical numbers. I mean, when it comes down to brass tacks, that's very crucial, those numbers. Okay, Cisco, which is a stock of the past, in my opinion, it is also a single-digit grower these days. Cisco is getting clubbed today, down 11.8%. Cisco gave a weak outlook. Okay, let's look at now I just got an update. I just got an email from the developers. They said today it will be live, the new app. That's not the Apple and the Android version, the web version. So we'll see. I've been told this now for 3 days in a row. Can't anybody get something done?
Yeah, I prefer the they don't go by the mantra under promise over perform.
Yeah,
right?
No. Okay, so Cisco 49% upside potential. That's very mediocre because it's slowed down so much in growth. Now, the star of the day, at least it was. Let's see if it still is. Yeah, okay, Macy's, but this is a beaten down stock. It's up 6% today on 10 times normal volume. I mean, Macy's is one of the last survivors of the mall, bricks and mortar space. I'd like to see Macy's do a lot of small stores, like the Abercrombie and Fitch, and the because they seem to stay alive, American Eagle, Gap stores, etc., Old Navy. I'd like to see Macy's come into some of the small shopping centers. Because they still have a powerful brand name, but
I still got to have the parade, right?
Yeah,
get rid of them.
I wouldn't own Macy's stock, even though it's having a good day today. And then one that we own, last time I looked, it was down 6.2%. Palo Alto Networks, but that's one of the premier growth stocks in the market. And they're going to be more volatile because they're trading at higher multiples. We'll just look at the growth there. For Palo Alto, I have 77% upside potential. over the next 5 years. We currently own Palo Alto Networks. And, of course, the stock so far this year is up 83.6%. That compares to a Dow that's up 2%. An S&P that's up, the S&P's 13, 14, somewhere in there. So Palo Alto, I mean, is one of the premier growth stocks. It's cybersecurity. It's probably one of the best cybersecurity stocks out there. Their earnings were up 66%. Their last four quarters up 81%, up 83%, up 80%, up 66%. But, it's priced very high. Forward P.E. ratio there is about 75. Stock down a little, about 6%. I'm not going to lose too much sleep over P.A.N.W. And then you got Alibaba. That's the last one. Jack Ma did a bunch of selling, probably to get pay bail. I don't know. He's been in trouble. He's been in and out of prison, and I don't know where that's all sits right now. I remember when they went public, they were parading him up and down Wall Street, and he's a brilliant guy, but Alibaba's down 9.2%. It's a far cry from the $320 it was at back in 2020. Now it's 79, from 320 down to 79. Baba. Okay, we'll look underneath the surface of the market when we come back. And welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. www.beststocksnowapp.com. Well, about 15 years ago, I'm thinking that's about when it was. I'd have to go back and look when the iPhone was just coming out or with the apps. The apps was a whole new ball game, a whole new business for Apple, and I had an idea to take the spreadsheet that I had developed that I use for money management to the form of an app. So I had everything right there on my iPhone. Why not? Everything else is there, Barry. My email, my music, right. My camera. I mean, everything else is there now. So I got together with my buddy that we grew up together. He ended up being a computer software programmer guy. I got into this business 23 years ago, and within 3 months, we had an app. We'd never done anything. I would drive up from San Diego to Sacramento, which is about an eight-hour drive. It's a long drive. Oh, I maybe made four or five trips up there, spent the weekend there.
Did you take the 101, or did you go no scenic route, or what?
No, I had to get there, the 5. Oh, right, I hated that 5. It's just a miserable drive. We got her done. So over time, we've had to do some updates here and there, but it was time for a total makeover to get it in today's language and everything. So this whole thing began a year and a half ago. Now, this is taking an existing app and just making it look better a year and a half later. We did the original one in about 3 months. Here's the latest. And then eventually, from the Apple, we created an Android version, which Android just... There's not many people that download apps on Android for whatever reason. And then we created the web version, though. That was the cat's meow, because I would rather see it on a big screen while I'm sitting here and all of this. And it's been, hello, Bill, we're all hands on deck making the transfers. This came this morning. Shouldn't take too much longer, but these things take a little time. Last we talked at the end of the day yesterday, we were getting close. I'll keep you updated as we go today. We're working diligently and making sure not to rush the process. Now, this is the same story I've been getting for about 2 weeks, so we can be accurate.
ChatGPT, make that email.
We want to be sure this is transferred correctly, so it is taking more time to check all areas. We're in the final stages this morning. They've been in the final stages for 3 weeks now. I'll have a report for you very soon. Okay, so I just want the subscribers to know what I'm up against, and look, I cracked the whip, and it's right on the verge. I mean, I'm using it. I'm using the new app because I have a beta version, right, that I'm able to go to the website and use it. It's primo. I love it. But these guys, they're out of Knoxville, Tennessee. They claim that they, well, they have. They've made, they do websites. They've made a lot of apps. But, man, trying to get it done. Get her done. It's been
Yeah, just
difficult.
Get her across the finish line. That's
yes.
always the, it's like, you know, 95% of the work gets done quickly. And then that last 5%,
oh,
it's always like, oh.
You know, I learned from my father to get things done across, they're not done till you've cleaned up your mess. Everything's put away. That's like, okay, let's look at the S&P 500. The leading stock is Macy's. Yeah, you know, it's up 6.9%. I don't know what's going on with Intel. Barry, that's one of the best-looking charts in the entire market right now. There must be news on Intel because it's not only in the S&P 500, it's in the NASDAQ. It's up 3.4%. This is the turnaround stock of the year.
Yeah, it's got a couple of, you know, certainly it's had a couple of upgrades recently, even, you know, just today. Got a couple upgrades. I think UBS put it on their, you know, 14 stocks of, you know, high conviction list, right?
I don't like UBS at all.
Mizuho also upgraded them. So they're getting a couple upgrades along the board. But
so those are the two big ones today. I'm going to give Macy's and Intel credit for being a couple of the best stocks in the market today. As I look at the NASDAQ, it's the same thing. Intel is the leader, up 3.2%. I really don't see much else. Google is up 1.4%. Microsoft is up 1.1%. So very now on the downside, Cisco down 11.2%. And the other question I got yesterday, and it's pretty easy to answer, how do you know when it's short selling versus actual buying? Because when I see these beaten down stocks like Dish and Dollar Tree and Baidu and whatever else, there's a whole list of them, Illumina, when they go to up 8 or 9%, that tells me that that's a lot of short covering. Those are not big institutions coming in and buying these stocks on, from their conviction buy list. And I said that once this short selling abates, they're going to go right back to shorting these stocks. And I certainly see that today. Dish, Dollar Tree, Baidu, Illumina, all down 3 to 4% today. They're right back at it. There was a lot of short covering on Tuesday and Wednesday, a lot, in the REITs especially, and in the regional banks. Now we'll just look one more. Let's look at the Dow for fun. Eh, you know, it's all Intel. Intel's up 3.2. McDonald's is up 1.8. On the downside, Cisco's a member of the Dow. I'm pretty sure it's still there. I've got it listed as a member. It's down 11.2, and Walmart's down 7.5. No wonder the Dow's down, huh? Okay, well, you know, Thursday is the day I start working on the newsletter. Hopefully some point during the day here, you'll be able to log on to www.beststocksnowapp.com and see the new version of the app. Anybody can try it out with, you know, the 500 stocks that are that come with it to get access to the all 5,500, something like that. It's $9.99 per month. And then if you want the additional, you know, live trades and access to the full Monty client portfolio every Saturday, it's $89 per month. And I'm working on another idea that is going to add a whole nother dimension to the app. So we'll see how fast I can get that done and where that goes. In the meantime, if you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, check out our portfolios. You know, I've been talking to some people that have accounts at other places, Barry, you know, some of the big well-known firms. And I just let them know, here's how we've done so far this year with our growth portfolios. And it's like, okay, thanks for rubbing it in because they're not doing as well where they're at. So anyways, look, there's no guarantees. We're just going to work hard and make the best decisions we can given the climate that we're in at any particular time in the market. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.